B-Pod Studios.
Degrees. Perfect golf weather. Nope. Can't be doing that. Nope. Got to come in, do the show. But I have a great work ethic thanks to my old man. So I'm not. And plus, you can't get away with faking sick nowadays anyway, because then you get a quarantine for 2 weeks. So it's a no-win situation. So we're here. Hello. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jim. Good to know that you're excited to be here for another edition of Gasper and Murray.
I don't take it personally.
I don't, man. Yeah. Trust me, it is beautiful out there.
Yeah. So hopefully you're out and about enjoying it, running your errands and chores, and getting ready for Thanksgiving that you can't spend with your family.
Most likely you're stuck in traffic.
Yes.
Because people know that the countdown is on, and pretty soon you won't be able to leave your house at all. And I left my house last night, Jim, and I have to say, I felt like it was like the end days in Saigon. Like the amount of people that were out, what they were doing, people know that the shutdown is imminent.
Yes, yeah, it is looming, so get that out. Suck all the juice out of out before it's there's nothing left but the pit. Suck it all up before Chairman Charlie shuts everything down for the foreseeable future. So, we'll get to all the Celtics stuff, and by all, I mean nothing, because nothing's happened. right around noon, Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, will join us. Scoops McGee, Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of Felger and Maz, whose phone is always blowing up. He will join us in that hour as well. Hopefully, between now and then, something will happen with Gordon Hayward. I just like something to happen. If you woke up this morning, you scroll through Twitter, you looked at ESPN.com, or you were listening to Joe Murray earlier, you'll know already. Like, a lot has happened throughout the NBA. Free agency starts last night. Things are popping off, except for the Celtics. They've done nothing. Yeah, sure, they did that Enes Kanter deal where they get more picks in return. But other than that, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, Vincent Poirier's contract off the bus. That was a big one, right?
Great.
Send him to OKC.
So we'll get into rumors and innuendo and Celtics talking about an hour. In the meantime, Chris, I figured we'd start with the Patriots. I know you believe in the path.
I do.
Mike Felger believes in the path. Ever since Felger and Maz started talking about the path weeks ago, the path talk has picked up, much to my chagrin. I don't want to get into the permutations, the math, the path in general. I just think it's as simple as this. Do you believe or you don't believe? I don't believe. I don't believe in this team. I don't think they're that great. I don't. They've played better, certainly. I'm not going to be that much of an a-hole about it and be like, no. They've played better the last couple of weeks. I can understand why people have turned around. But overall, like, I just think it's the – I don't believe that these other teams in front of them that have better records than them, these collection of 6-3 teams, are going to play along and help out here, because it hasn't happened so far. History would tell you, I'm probably only going to be on the wrong side of things, thinking the Browns aren't going to fall off, or a team like the Vegas Raiders aren't going to
fall
off. But this is 2020. Down is up. Right is left. Everything is upside down.
Oh, we're living in the upside down, your favorite show.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Loved Stranger Things. I really needed that second season. So, I don't believe in it. I still don't believe in the quarterback at all. He throws the football for the most part like he's skipping rocks in the lake. So I am a non-believer. It just comes down to that. That's why, like, when I hear the math, the path math, it's just boo. Like, I tune completely out. That being said, they have this game that I think that most people feel like is a formality tomorrow afternoon against the Houston Texans. So I thought I'd dive in a little bit. Like, okay, so if I'm going to be the guy that doesn't believe, let me try to make a case for the Houston Texans here.
Okay.
I can't do it. They stink.
Excited there for a second.
Well, no, Chris, the reason I did it is because, the PFF guys, the pro football focus guys, Steve and those crew, and I like PFF for the most part, but sometimes, like, some of their analytics, like, I saw something pop up this week, like, Deshaun Watson is actually having, like, a top five quarterback type of season. I was like, really? I don't know if I really believe that. But, I get it based on some of their metrics. Statistically, yes, Deshaun Watson's having a very good year. But, if you look closer at some of these games, a lot of the numbers he's putting up it's in garbage time.
Oh, it's the Stafford? Full Stafford?
Totally, yeah. It's Matt Stafford-esque. They're averaging 22.2 points a game. That's 26th lowest average in the league. They suck at picking up the blitz. Every David or Duke Johnson run is a waste of space. The offensive line is still a mess.
Yeah, it's
mired
not good.
Mired by the same inconsistencies that they've had over the last
5 or 6
years.
And Tunsil didn't practice this week. We'll see if he can play.
You're great.
Their left tackle.
They have the bong attached to his face, too, like draft night.
The Bane bong? That was awesome. Yeah.
Let me get as high as humanly possible. I could forget the pain of my life.
Brandon Cooks blows. Randall Cobb is ancient. Will Fuller's actually having a good season, yeah. but he's Will Fuller and he has stone hands.
If you blow on him, he's going to get hurt.
Right. So they struggle for easy yards. Watson, again, it looks like he's putting up numbers in garbage time. So your path lives on this weekend. I can't. And they're,
yes.
And then that's not even talking about their defense, which is wretched against the run, the one thing the Patriots do best. And if you look, you know, at the Patriots this year, the more they run, the more they win. You know, if they run more than they throw, they're 4-1 in those games. And usually you extrapolate that in the past with any NFL team in any NFL season. It's like, well, no, that's with a grain of salt because it's usually a blowout and teams are running more late in the game. And it's like, no. It's with the Patriots, it actually matters. The more they run, the more they're going to win. They should ground and pound. They should certainly do it tomorrow against Houston because they can't stop the run.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And I think, you know, I appreciate all the research that you've done. I think that I can boil it down to this. The Texans have two wins this season, and they're both against the Jaguars.
Right.
Yeah. Who have one win on the season and are firmly ensconced in the Trevor Lawrence race with the Jets, even though the Jets are winless. The Jaguars are making it a race. So that's all you need to know about the Texans. That being said, you know, look, I do have some trepidation about this game just because I think the Patriots, as much as Felger and I talk about the path to the playoffs, there's also their path to winning, and you just hit on it, the fact that they're 4-1 when they run the football more than they throw it. And I just think that their path to victory each and every week is so narrow. There's not a lot of margin for error. Traditionally, they're not a team that beats themselves, but they're also not a team that can get behind, per se, and fight back. They're not really built to do that because they can't throw the football that well down the field. Maybe that changes a little bit if Edelman can come back. You have Edelman and Myers. But I just think their whole path is don't turn the football over, run the football. The defense has to keep people around 20 points because they're not really going to score much more than 20 points unless there's a special teams touchdown or a defensive touchdown. And that's it. That's a narrow path to victory. And now I believe that Belichick can sort of keep them on that narrow path. And that leads ultimately to the greater path we're talking about to the playoffs, which for me, here's my thing on this. It's not rooted in some great belief in this team as much as it is rooted in the fact that I do not believe in these other AFC teams, teams like Cleveland, teams like Las Vegas, even a team like Miami. You know, I feel like whoever the second place finisher is in the AFC East is going to get a wild card. And I'm not sold that second place finisher is going to be the Dolphins and not be the Patriots. So that's my thing on the path. I honestly have not dug in to the path math in the way that Felger has, but I just look at some of these schedules. Also, some of these teams have to play each other. For example, here's Tennessee's upcoming schedule starting with tomorrow.
Yeah, they still have Indy.
At Baltimore, at Indy, versus Cleveland, versus Detroit, at Green Bay, at Houston. That's not an easy schedule. I don't have a lot of belief in Baker Mayfield, so they're versus Philly, at Jacksonville. I mentioned that Cleveland and Tennessee play. Cleveland still has to play Baltimore. They're at the Giants. They're at the Jets. If the only win the Jets got this year was against terrible Baker Mayfield and the Browns, I would not be surprised.
Oh, no, me either.
And who does Cleveland wrap up the season against? Pittsburgh. So I think that there's let me just run down Miami for you. You know, I know this isn't exactly exhilarating radio, but there is a path here. Again, so coming up, Miami's pretty easy, right? At Denver. I actually think they could lose that game tomorrow because Denver's a tough place to play. At the Jets versus Cincinnati. They'll win that. But here are their final four games. Versus the Chiefs, versus the Patriots, at Las Vegas, at Buffalo. They could lose all four of those games. Now, all of a sudden, all you need is 9-7 because you already beat them once and you would have beaten them a second time to get to 9-7. You have the tiebreaker. So I don't think it's as outlandish maybe as people like you think. And it's not based on my belief in this team. It's based on the schedules of these other teams and my lack of faith in them. You know, Tua Tagovailoa, I like what I've seen. He's won his first three starts, but he's also running around talking about how the NFL is easier than he thought. I mean, you're just asking for it.
Yeah.
You're asking for it with now, the football guys.
Coaches, teams, they're going to get tape on him. He's going to come back down to earth because he's gotten better week by week.
Sure.
But, you know, there's always going to be the market correction with any young quarterback. So that's coming. The Colts looked awesome in their last game, the Thursday night win over Tennessee. And I was impressed with that. I think they had the best offensive line in football. Their defense is really good. But you had good Phil Rivers that night. Can you trust Philip Rivers to be consistently decent week in, week out? You can't. So I can understand why people are looking at this and saying these other teams are going to collapse.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, part of it, too, just to talk about Indy really quickly, I think that they have been able, for the most part, to sort of do what Belichick's done with Cam Newton here, with Rivers at this point in his career, which is say, look, you know, you don't have to be a playmaker. Just be a caretaker. Like, don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Because our defense is good enough to do it. You know, our running game is good enough to do it. We have a great offensive line. So, you know, I like Indy. I think Tennessee's schedule is tough. I think you've seen Tannehill come back down to earth with that team. So, if you know, Belichick always says this, and I've repeated it a number of times. More games in the NFL are lost than won. And I have faith that these other teams will find a way to lose and that the Patriots will be able to avoid losing games and then will win games by having them dropped in their lap by other teams, teams that are complicit in their own demise.
Yeah, here's the one thing I'm really most interested in tomorrow is watching Deshaun Watson. So as much as I kind of said, you know, don't buy into what you're maybe reading that he's, you know, playing at the top of his game, having a really good season, because if you look at some of these games and extrapolate, like when he's putting up some of his numbers this year, it's in garbage time in these games where they're like trying to crawl back in. But I do really like him. And to me, Chris, like, remember the buzz, like, I think early in the season, before he signed that extension there, there was some buzz, like, maybe Deshaun Watson ends up as part of the Patriots. Maybe he tries to force his way out of Houston. I bought into that because I loved Watson at Clemson. Outside of my concern about his twice-injured knees, I love him. And I just think he's in a bad situation. I thought he was going to be the guy for the Patriots, potentially, for the future. He's only 25 years old, a lot of talent there. He's just in a bad situation. Then he signed that extension. It's like, no, dude, no. And it looks like he does a lot of great things in the Houston community, and he's out in front of it and does a lot of good stuff with kids. So maybe he really likes being there. But just for his career, to me, when he signed that extension, it's like, oh, you're just going to end up like one of the Larry Fitzgerald and Aeneas Williams all-stars. Like, a great player who was on a suck franchise and a suck team, and you're never going to really win anything. And Larry Fitzgerald, I know, made one Super Bowl, but is he going to end up with a ring?
He would have been the MVP of that Super Bowl, too,
God.
If Santonio Holmes didn't come down with
that. It's just a shame when you watch guys like that, like, mired year in, year out on a suck franchise, and he signs a four-year extension. It's like, no! Oh, you could have ended up somewhere else with good coaching, and you would have been a champion, and now it just feels like it's going to end up being a waste. I really like Watson a lot. I'm interested in watching him tomorrow, how Belichick plans game plans for him, but I don't know. I'll be watching him longingly because I felt like he would have been a perfect Patriot quarterback for the future.
No, I agree. I agree. And, you know, I think, again, I haven't dug into it quite the way you have, but I think he's actually played pretty well this year. I just look at the offensive line, the lack of the running game, the fact he's been behind in a lot of games. I don't think he's the reason they're 2-7. You know, there's only so much he can do. I think that offense has sort of underperformed. I think the receivers are explosive but inconsistent. I know how you feel about Brandon Cooks. So, you know, when you look at that, I don't blame him there. You know, I talk a lot about how important the quarterback position is in the NFL, and it's really important. But I think Deshaun Watson is a prime example that even if you have a really good quarterback, if you have a decrepit, deteriorating organization around him that's void of leadership or common sense or capability, then even with a talented quarterback, it can go south fast.
Yeah. No, oh, and that's what's happened there. And after Bill O'Brien trades DeAndre Hopkins...
For David Johnson.
I might be wrong in the timeline. Yeah, no, that happened after he signed the extension. That's why, like, he had to have looked up in the sky, like, no, like, oh, why did you sign that extension? Maybe I just bought into that hype too much that he could have ended up forcing his way out of Houston.
Do you think Deshaun Watson could be, like, the first, at least in my mind, the first NFL player that sort of pulls, like, an NBA move, like, kind of like a Kyrie or a Harden, is like, yeah, I know I signed this deal, but I'm not playing here. Trade me.
I hope. Yeah,
I mean, could you see him doing that? Like, yeah, I signed my deal, or basically the Carmelo. Like, yeah, I signed this deal because I wanted my money, but now this has become a different situation. I'm not playing here, period. Trade me.
Yes, yeah, and I think that he should try to force that hand if they end up going, you know, so now there's rumors bubbling that they're going to go with Romeo Crennel as their head coach for next season. And it's like, well, no, if you really want to have, you know, and he try to, like, you know, if you want to try to turn this thing around and have some success, I think you try to find an offensive mind, a quarterback guru. I would go with, like, Eric Bieniemy, who's been with the Kansas City Chiefs here, right? And Andy Reid, who's the quarterback whisperer. Like, get someone like that in there that can help Deshaun Watson, coach him up a little bit better, really, you know, get a real offensive line or try to build that correctly so he's not running for his life year in, year out. And if they don't do that and they go with Crennel and, you know, they're going to try to, like, rebuild the defense and all that, like, no, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out of here. The hell with this. This isn't going to work. I'm going to force my hand or force your hand, and you're going to have to move me because I'm not playing for you anymore. He should. He really should.
Yeah.
He's just going to waste the rest of his career.
Imagine what Belichick could do with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Yeah, no, I fell in love with those rumors a little bit too much. So I'll enjoy watching him tomorrow. I think the Patriots are going to end up rolling. Just don't throw it. Just keep running. But I'll tell you this, though. If they do lose tomorrow, none of you people get to talk about the Path come Monday. Not a one.
No, the Path's still alive.
No,
nope,
it's over. If they lose to the 2-win Houston Texans tomorrow, who have only beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's done.
It's not done.
It's done, Chris.
It's not done because they beat Baltimore. I mean, it would be bad.
I don't want to hear about it.
No, it's not done.
It's over.
The Baltimore win was gravy.
Over.
The Baltimore win and the Houston loss would cross each other out. An unexpected win and an unexpected loss. So you're right back at sort of ground zero when the yeah. path began. It's not over yet.
It's over. 617-779-0985. You want to join us this morning. Again, this first hour is going to be Patriots football heavy. I do want to touch on some comments made by Theo Epstein as he stepped down from the Cubs this week because I found those very interesting.
Oh, you get a baseball reporter's itch to scratch, huh, Pat?
I do. Yep. Got a little baseball reporter's itch to scratch. That's true. I do. Yeah. Even though I never really want to talk about baseball, but every once in a while I do. So we'll get to that coming up as well. And then at noon, it's a Sports Hub Celtics show special as we'll get into all the things that have happened with the Celtics here over the last 48 to 72 hours, which is a whole lot of nothing. That's all coming up here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Watson's as good as anybody we face. He does a good job at everything. He can make all the throws. He's very good with his decisiveness, makes good reads, uses his outlet receivers, gets to his second and third option. He's obviously mobile. He's a hard guy to bring down in the pocket. He's strong. He's, you know, his legs get him some third down conversions and touchdowns, but they also buy him some time to work down the field. He can stand in the pocket and throw and read coverages and make good decisions and put the ball accurately on the receivers, you know, as well. As anybody. Doesn't give the defense as many chances to get the ball. He doesn't turn it over much. His decision making and ball security is good, in addition to having, you know, a lot of production. So when you combine those two elements with a quarterback, it's that makes them hard to defend, and they don't have many bad plays that ever hurt their team. So it's really, really the kind of guy you want playing that position.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick with a lot of nice things to say about Deshaun Watson. Imagine what he could do with Deshaun Watson if he ended up here. But no, you had to go and sign that stupid 4-year extension for that hideous franchise when Bill O'Brien was still there. O'Brien since fired. Romeo Crennel, interim head coach. But now there's talk of him being the head coach there next year. Like, force your way out, dude. Get here. If he was in a Patriots uniform at 25 years old with all that talent, now that is a guy that could get me reinvigorated about this team and where they're going to be going.
So you're saying you would believe in the Path if Deshaun Watson were the quarterback?
Oh, I sure would. Yes. Because he is actually proficient at throwing the football, whereas Cam Newton, not so much.
I have to say, you're a real star hugger, as they say. Like, you like the star power.
Yeah, no, that is true. Yep, no, that's, I know the word you want to use.
Yeah, exactly.
I am for sure that, Chris. Yep. Oh, I will be quick with that selfie if you're of a certain level. Normally, I don't bother. Look, it was the Bruins Stanley Cup run against the St. Louis Blues a few years back. Of course,
okay.
They blow game 7. I think it was game 6. No, might have been game 7. Yeah, I think it was game 7.
Okay.
At the time, Lil Nas X with Old Town Road happened to be in the freight elevator going up to the suites. And I was like, well, this is like the most famous guy on the planet right now with this song. I'm taking that photo.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You never told me that.
Well, you know. I didn't want to get my balls broke. Also, one of those games, Justin Bieber and his lovely wife, Haley, happened to be in.
Haley Baldwin.
Yeah, they happened to be in one of the suites, and I was lurking, trying to get that photo.
Yeah, I knew it. You are a star hugger.
Yeah, I most
That's
certainly
not the
am.
Word, but you know what I'm saying.
Further reason to believe in the Patriots tomorrow in this game, not just because like I don't really believe in Houston all that much, but just statistically speaking, Texans opponents this season, when they have more rushing attempts than passing attempts, they're 5-0. So, you know, the Patriots just run, 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 run. Run. Because, again, the Patriots have more rushing attempts than passing attempts in a game. They're 4-1. It's pretty simple for tomorrow. But on Bill Belichick and the game plan, especially defensively against Baltimore last week, Chris, do you feel like he and maybe the team kind of got their swerve back? Like, Bill's got it back after where it was like 4 or 5 weeks of nonstop complaining?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they had a pretty good game plan to contain Lamar Jackson. I like the usage of Kyle Duggar, Chase Winovich, and Josh Uche. It's amazing what you can do when you put your most athletic players in the field. They knew they needed more speed out there. They did that. They used those guys. They used them, you know, in the box, closer to the line of scrimmage. There were times that Uche was kind of mirroring, spying Lamar Jackson. I thought it was a pretty good game plan. I think that I was surprised, honestly, given the issues the Patriots have had this year stopping the run, that they were able to stop the number one running game in the NFL in Baltimore, because last year Baltimore ran for more than 200 yards on them. And if you go back and look at it, it wasn't so much Lamar Jackson who did the damage last time, it was Mark Ingram. So they did a really good job not only of containing Jackson, but of containing Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, and Gus Edwards. And that was the biggest surprise to me, that they took the run game away from Baltimore.
Yeah, that Baltimore team's way different than what they were last year. They are front-running frauds. And, you know, we had Greg Bedard on Felgren Mez with his usual spot on Tuesday. You follow him on Twitter or read Boston Sports Journal. He had written about this and put out some of these tweets from the All-22 film, like, just undisciplined. And Marcus Peters, like, losing his mind after, you know, like, a big gain by the Patriots. Like, they're front-running frauds, Chris. Like, they lose their composure when things start to unravel. I think you saw that in that divisional playoff game and the loss to Tennessee last year. When things start going sideways for Lamar Jackson, I think the body language gets bad on him. Like, I don't know. Like, I thought, look, I don't really believe in the Patriots all that much going into last week's game. I don't think most people gave them a chance, considering I think people were just still stuck on what happened against the Ravens last year. But great game for them, their best win of the year. But I came out of that more, you know, like looking at the Ravens and saying, like, oh, well, if you believe in the path, that's one of those teams that has a better record than you that might go by the wayside here. Like, they don't look like a composed team to me.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of backbiting and infighting. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is blaming Greg Roman. And I think Greg Roman has tailored that offense to him. Greg Roman's had success with guys like Tyrod Taylor.
Well, he's got every right to bitch. That 4th-and-1 play, you take the ball out of
MVP's
hands.
Yeah, especially when Skur, the center, was having a hard time snapping. I mean, why don't you do more pistol? Why don't you put the guy up under center? But I also think part of what their limitations are offensively, even though I thought Lamar Jackson threw the ball well from the pocket, the reason the offense is what it is, it's like, dude, look in the mirror. It's you. Like, they're trying to make it as easy for you as possible. If you were better going through your progressions, if you were more consistent out of the pocket, then the offense would be less predictable. They've tailored the offense for you. The offense is predictable because of you.
Yeah.
So I just sort of felt like Lamar Jackson, I like him, obviously league MVP. And again, I was really impressed with the way he threw from the pocket in tough conditions in that game. But I also think he needs to take some responsibility there. And, you know, good win for the Patriots, especially not having Stephon Gilmore, who, you know, seems like he's going to play. I saw on Instagram, you know, bag packed. So he's going to Houston. And it seems like, you know, now that the team's back on the path, he's like, oh, I got something to play for. I'm going to jump back in here. Just, you know, never wanted to move. Just wanted to move to the city. Again, didn't say what city. Yeah, you know, I didn't say Boston. No, just plan to move to the city. Personally, I think the city was Chicago, but that's fine. And now he's back on board. So all the more reason to be supportive of the path. Stephon Gilmore is back on board, baby.
Yeah, I want to get to those comments that Stephon Gilmore had yesterday coming up, as well as a couple of interesting roster moves for the Patriots heading into tomorrow's game. We'll get to that next here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
There was a real estate listing for a house that you own, and it was tied. It came up right around the time of the trade deadline, and we didn't have an opportunity to just ask you if there's any connection between those two things. So I feel like I need to ask you because it had been talked about at that time, you know, and didn't have a chance to ask you.
I just wanted to, you know, move to the city. So I like the city. So, you know, it's someplace I want to go. So that's why I made that decision.
Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore lying to ESPN Boston's Mike Reese.
Great question by Mike, though.
Yeah, about why he put the house up for sale leading into the NFL trade deadline. And see, all the bids had to be in an hour after when the NFL trade deadline started. But no, he just wanted to go to the city. What city? Who's to say? But as long as it's a city. You know, the cities that have more corona than less corona in the suburbs where he live, that's where I'd want to go. Pick a city. We'll just spin the wheel of cities. That's where I'd like to be. What a crook. Just like, I don't know. Like, just I would prefer him say a mumble. Like, I can't hear you. Bad connection on the Zoom here.
Or pull the Brady or Hayward and be like, oh, you know, the wife wanted to move. Like, just blame it on your wife.
Right, yeah. So I don't believe that for a second. But it does seem like there has been a thaw here. You know, he's had this knee injury, using air quotes there. That's just my belief. I don't know.
Like, I mean, I think he is legitimately hurt. But even Belichick said, you know, they would have put him on IR if they thought it would take this long. I think with this team.
Didn't Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald report it as like it wasn't that bad of an injury, I think?
Yes, and I believe Karen. I think the Patriots thought he'd be back sooner. There's no question about that. I do think the injury is legitimate, though. I don't think he's faking the injury. The question is, if this were a different season, a different team, if he were making more money, would he have said, yeah, I'll play it 80% or 75%? I think he would have. I think this year, given the fact all he got was the advance against his salary next year and where this team was headed before the Baltimore victory, I think he was like, nope. I'm going to make sure I'm 100% healthy for free agency to cash in. Now he's like, this team has a chance. If I go and ball out in some of these games, then maybe I can make myself more money. I just feel like they've reached some sort of detente between Gilmore and Belichick. And Belichick's been known to do this, Jim, where it's like, look, you do your thing. That helps you. That helps us. You know, let's just get through the season. But as I said yesterday on Felgren Maz, oh man, if he gets hurt, I think it's the full Earl Thomas. Like as he's going out in the cart, I think he's flipping the bird to Bill. Like, oh man, you son of a, you cost me money. Remember when Earl Thomas did that?
Oh, I loved it. No. Oh, so good.
Flip the bird to his own sideline and coach.
I love player revolt so much, especially when the coach deserves it. So yes, yeah, maybe that happens. Look, there's been bad injuries in that dome in Houston before. Wes Welker, end of 2009. Remember that one. But Gilmore does look like he's going to play. If you don't follow on Instagram, Chris mentioned it in the prior segment. You know, his bag is packed. He's going to be traveling with the team. So Gilmore is looking like he's going to play tomorrow. Now, I mentioned there was a couple of interesting little roster tweaks. The Patriots have activated Sony Michel from injured reserve. And they have released Derek Rivers and Halte Froholt. Reading from
Yalda Froholt?
Yalda Froholt, sorry. Yes. I got to give credit to Matt McCarthy, who's on after us, who said that entire tweet is one giant reminder of the Patriots' track record in the draft over the last few years with three puke emojis. Yeah, like, so Derek Rivers, you know, he had battled with injuries, sometimes flashes, will pick up the occasional sack and be like, oh, I can see what they see in him. But now he's been released. Froholt. Fourth rounder, another waste. So, yeah, no, Matt's right there. Credit to him. And activating Sony Michel, is that the smartest thing to do? Look, the path to victory tomorrow is run. But you have a bell cow back in Damian Harris, who really has been one of the true bright spots of this team this year. I think it's he and Rex Burkhead. I don't know. Activating Sony Michel and getting him out there, isn't that like throwing the turd in the punch bowl? Like, it just feels like, at this point, like, his ass should be stapled to the bench unless someone's really hurt.
Well, the last game he played, didn't he play pretty well? I mean, didn't he play pretty well in that game, the last game he played? And I think part of it was that the return of Damian Harris, when Damian Harris had the 100-yard rushing game against the Chiefs, I thought that lit a little bit of a fire under Sony Michel. Damian Harris is banged up. He has injuries. He's been playing through them. So maybe the feeling here is that you get a different Sony Michel. You get a more capable Sony Michel, a more motivated Sony Michel, someone who knows that, look, if you're not productive on these runs, you're out. And you're not really going to be able to play. And you're not going to be able to make a difference here. And we're going to move on with Damian Harris. So I think in a lot of ways, Sony Michel comes back and is playing for his Patriots career.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see good Sony Michel because I don't think that that's a term that exists. the only reason he ran well in 2018 was because of the offensive line and he had a fullback in James Devlin, period, end of story. He's not good. And here's a prediction. By activating him, and if he's going to be involved with a game plan tomorrow, he's going to put it on the ground. That's going to be problematic. Ooh. They should stay the hell away from Sony Michel. Too much rust. That's not a player that I want to see on the field tomorrow if you want to see the Patriots win this game, which should be an easy win over Houston. If he's involved in the game plan, that's going to be problematic. The old turd in the punch bowl. I don't think that was good news for them.
I mean, wouldn't it indicate, though, in the last game he played was against Vegas. He had the 9 rushers for 117 yards. So that was before Damian Harris. So I do have the timeline wrong there. But I think certainly he has to be motivated by what's happened with Damian Harris. But don't you think this is indicative of the fact that the Patriots do look at it and say, we can ground and pound against Houston? I mean, Houston has the worst run defense in the NFL. They've allowed 6 100-yard rushers this year, and another guy, James Robinson, got 99 yards against them in Week 9, so that's basically 7 guys. Don't you think that they're looking at it and saying, we're going to run, and we just want to make sure we have enough backs to do that? I mean, I'm not sure he's going to have a huge role in this game.
Yeah, I hope not. You better hope not, because if he's involved, that's going to be problems. Sony Michel really? Should not. Yep. No, he's going to be like the tiki doll in Brady Bunch when it all goes wrong. So, hand the ball to Michel. There's going to be problems. He's going to put it on the ground. You won't.
Okay.
Quickly, too, as we were talking about cornerbacks, Gilmore does look like he's going to play. Did you make anything out of J.C. Jackson initially being left off the Pro Bowl balloting earlier
no.
this week?
No. I mean, I think, you know, look, that's the NFL asked you to give the starters. I don't think the Patriots did it on purpose. It was obviously an oversight.
Do you think just like an oversight with Stephon Gilmore being left off the injury report a couple of weeks ago or week and a half ago? And then,
oh, I mean, that's something that Patriots have done sort of habitually with the injury report. But this, I think, was like, I feel like, you know, you're asked to submit your guys before the season, right? Am I wrong on that? It's not like it's like during the year, oh, submit your guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it was rectified.
After people bitched, it was rectified.
You know I love a good conspiracy theory, but I really don't think they intentionally left him off the thing. I think the only reason anybody noticed was all of a sudden he had interceptions in 5 straight games and was leading the league in picks, and that's what it was. But this was all done prior to that, so.
Yeah, I think that this was a precursor to what could be
You think he's the next Malcolm Butler?
Yes.
As he goes through this restricted free agency thing?
Yep.
You think this is Malcolm Butler 2.0?
That's exactly what I think it is. Yes. Yeah. I made you. No one else wanted to give you a chance because of some character issues that you had. That's why you were undrafted. I made you. You are now looking like one of the better cornerbacks in the league. So come negotiating time, don't forget, I made you. And so you can't use this Pro Bowl nod to your advantage. We're going to get you as financially responsible as possible. Not going to use the word cheap. And remember that come negotiating time. So that's what I think this was. This was a Malcolm Butler-esque tactic. And so, that's what I thought that was all about. And occasionally I like the conspiracy theory, too. What can I say? And that plays into that. All right, coming up our long commercial-free segment, I do want to get your thoughts, Chris, on some of the comments made by Theo Epstein earlier this week as he steps away from the Cubs. And then some of the nerds clap back, including Chaim Bloom with the Red Sox, which I
love nerd clapbacks.
Yeah, no, we're going to get you. So we'll get to that and the Sports Up Celtics show, special edition coming up at noon as free agency is popping off. Lot going on throughout the NBA. Not with the Celtics, but we'll get to that again coming up at noon here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I take some responsibility for that, right? Because the executives like me who have spent a lot of time using analytics and other measures to try to optimize individual and team performance have unwittingly had a negative impact on the the aesthetic value of the game and the entertainment value of the game in some respects. I mean, clearly, you know, the strikeout rate's a little bit out of control, and we need to find a way to get more action in the game, get the ball in play more often, allow players to show their athleticism some more, and give the fans more of what they want. And you know, maybe there's a way to do that through changes over time, and to put the game back in the hands of the players and let them do their thing on the field. And I think that's the best way to give the fans more of what they want.
All right. I love this. I rarely, if ever, want to talk about baseball. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. But that was Theo Epstein, who stepped away from the Cubs as chief baseball nerd, whatever the hell, president.
He was president of baseball operations.
Titles that they give all these.
Chief baseball nerd.
I mean, that's what they, chief baseball officer here. Wee-hoo-wee, I'm going to arrest you if you're not using analytics. But he steps away for whatever reason. He wants to spend more time with his family, do charitable things, apparently, like based on the reporting.
Yeah, he has a foundation to be named later. He has that
right,
with his
yeah.
brother. It's a big deal.
So, there's been talk of him maybe being MLB commissioner. Great, you know, because you hear that and that, Chris, all that, the word that comes to mind, I hear him say that this was the guy, like this was the guy that, you know, one of the Bill James acolytes, one
sure.
of the main nerds that helped deteriorate this product and no longer make it America's pastime. And he wants to see it go back to that. Like what that was an unburdening. And I'm going to date myself here, but that was the equivalent of Jimmy Swaggart in 1988 when he's, I have sinned against you, my Lord, like just begging for forgiveness. And that's what that was to me. Theo Epstein begging the baseball community, those that feel like the game has changed way too much. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry what I've done to the game, me and the nerds. Good for him. I loved that.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I think Theo has always been one of these guys who can sort of bridge the gap between the nerds, and I'm saying that as a nerd, not a baseball nerd, but just a nerd, the nerds and the jocks, the players. He's always been able to bridge that gap. That's one of his gifts. But I think that the upshot from this, when I listen to Theo, is that the game has become too nerdy and analytical for Theo, a guy who was at the vanguard of this when he came in with the Red Sox and was the youngest general manager in Major League history at the time, and a guy who has worked his entire career to try and optimize the game. He's basically saying, no, this is too nerdy for me as a Yale grad, as somebody that wanted to change the game. The pendulum has swung too far. And I think that really is the most interesting thing to me. This is sort of a clarion call from somebody that you think would not offer one to say, we've gone too far. And I think the same way that the old guard of baseball became overly protective and close-minded early on in terms of people like Billy Beane and Theo and not wanting to see it any other way than their own, I think the new guard, the vanguard, with people like Chaim Bloom and all the optimization and analytical people, I think they have become as close-minded as the people that they supplanted and saying, this is the only way it can be done. It has to be done. I think in both cases, there were sort of this purity test for the way they wanted to do it. And I think the best way to do it is to blend it. And like I said, the pendulum has swung too far and it's hurt the product. And when someone like Theo's saying that, I think that really now we've reached a critical mass.
Yeah, we're just looking for a middle ground here. And I think that would be beneficial to the game. And the nerd clapback, so I'm reading from Jason Mastronato of the Boston Herald.
Okay.
So, you know, he asked Chaim Bloom, chief baseball officer of the Red Sox, like about these comments that Theo made. And he had a different take, saying, quote, I think we still have such a great game. So I think we have to keep that in mind. The game of baseball in any form is just an incredible product. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. Wrong. And I do think some of the innovations that have come into the game in the service of winning that have just come out into competition have probably made the game on the margins a little less exciting as an entertainment product. You can't blame teams for trying to win. He's right there.
Well, he's right there. That's an honest statement.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets paid to win. He doesn't get paid to entertain.
That may mean it. Well, hold on. That may mean it's our responsibility as an industry to explore ways to continue to make what it is a great game as accessible as possible for as many people as possible. Chris, in a lot of ways, so on the one hand, yes, what he's it. You can't blame teams for trying to win. Without the analytics, you don't have a team like Tampa getting to the World Series like they did last year. But on the opposite side of things, if you trust the nerd analytics too much, you have Blake Snell getting lifted in a game we had no business being lifted from. And the entertainment value, you still are to me, like professional sports to me, are still part of the entertainment business. You do owe it to your audience to still put on a good show. And people don't tune in to watch you know, like what Blake Snell get lifted in a game he has no business being lifted from.
No, because that was the drama. Blake Snell, guy who, you know, I got to get mine when coronavirus was going on. And here's this guy who was like, I'm not even going to play the season. And now it's all on his back in an elimination game for his team. And he's getting it done. And it's like, oh, this is a great redemption. So, what? Oh, he's out of the game?
Yeah.
What?
No,
and by the way, you know, the Dodgers got off scot-free too because Dave Roberts did the same thing earlier in that series with Julio Urias. It was the same thing. He was their best pitcher all night. He'd given up two solo home runs, but he had 9 strikeouts. And he was at like, I don't know, what was Snell at? 80 pitchers or 76? One guy was at 80, one was at 76. I can't remember which guy was which. Either way, both guys still had more in the tank. And this has become the new it way of doing it in baseball. And that's really the biggest problem to me. When you and I were young, right? You go back to the 80s. There would be teams like the Red Sox that were going to say, we're going to go station to station and play for the 3-run home run with Dwight Evans and Jim Rice. And then you'd have the St. Louis Cardinals with Willie McGee and Ozzie Smith and Vince Coleman. And they're like, we're going to hit like 25 home runs and turn the base paths into, you know, the 4x100 relay. The problem now is that it's all homogeneous. Like, every team is trying to win the same way. The Rays would be okay if there were other teams doing other things. But now it's become, this is the only way to play. So every team, whether you're the Dodgers with one of the highest payrolls in baseball, or the Rays, who had the 28th highest payroll in baseball out of 30 teams, they're playing the exact same way. That's boring. There's no variety. And that's really the issue. Like, if the Rays did the Rays thing and other teams did other things, I don't think that this would be as acute an issue for baseball. I really don't.
Yeah, but I think you nailed it in that now it's become the analytics side of things. They have become as pig-headed as the old school, you know, the grizzled scouts that you see. Looked at as the old guard when you watch Moneyball and read Moneyball. Like, it's now they've become the same pig-headed a-holes. Like, they have to find a middle ground here if you want to get the game back to more of a palatable product. Because right now, like Mass always says, the product sucks. It does. It really does. You can't have games going 4 hours where it's just home run, strikeout, walk. That's it.
Yeah, and for me, the absolute, you know, epitome of that was that game, and I know I keep referencing it, but it was a playoff game the Padres and Cardinals played. The Padres won the game. It was a shutout, but they used 9 pitchers. They used a pitcher per inning. I wanted to shoot myself.
Yeah.
I was like, how is this legal? I never want to watch this again. This is a playoff game. I should care about it. The Padres, I mean, Slam Diego, they were one of the best stories in baseball, and they were one of the most entertaining teams in baseball. Yet when the money was on the table, they played, to me, the single worst baseball game I've ever watched. 9 pitchers in 9 innings. It was absurd. I mean, I would never want to watch that again.
All right, with that, it's time to talk Celtics as free agency started up last night. A lot going on in and around the NBA. Not with your Celtics, but we will get into the Sports Hub Celtics Show special edition. Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, going to join us right after the Sports Hub headlines here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.